Welcome to Aspire. I am your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful March 18th day, 2018. Wow, 3-18-18. Is that a sign? Maybe it is. Anyway, we're going to talk about, are we where we should be? Are you where you should be right now? Or are you where you can only be? We're going to be looking a little bit at that today, and I hope it helps you. I want to remind you that these radio programs, yes, you know the old thing here, are supported solely, entirely, completely by your love offerings, your donations, your gifts that make them possible, your contributions, your tax-deductible gifts that allow me to not only do this radio program, but also, at the same time, allow me to show you some beautiful TV programs we did over the years. They're not obsolete. They're very much relevant to today's world, very, very much. It's surprising how it is. And when I was filming these, I knew this was going to be the way it was. I just knew it. And we're showing a series right now on Cahil Gibran on the prophet. So if you go to the website at aspire.org and you hit the media button, you will see TV. Just hit it and you will see the TV programs that we have up for now. We're putting up more, believe it or not. There are more series to put up, and we will be putting them up as we can. It is only through your donations that all of this is made possible, as well as this radio program. And I hope you will consider becoming a sponsor. A sponsor is a person who makes a quarterly or monthly donation that sustains our radio program and our TV program. And you can go again to the website at aspire.org, hit the button that says support, and the drop-down menu will come. It is always there, and it says, why support Aspire? And it will tell you everything you need to know about being a sponsor. You get my podcast, video casts, my commentaries every 2 weeks. You get the message of the month sent to you every month, either through CD, or you can download it, preferably here on the website at aspire.org. And you get 122 discourses, all the discourses I did throughout the years of my TV programs. And Cahil Gibran series is in there as well. You can listen to the special discourses I did for those. There's the Eightfold Path, the Tao series are in there. There's so many things. Nobody likes you anyway. The Socrates series I did on the whole idea of what a meaningful life is. There are some beautiful things there for you if you're a sponsor, and it will keep you very much in the flow of consciousness and what it means to attain. So I hope you will go enjoy, and I hope also that you will become a sponsor as well. Are we where we should be? I did a commentary recently on the only place you can be is where you are as me. The only thing that can happen to us is the me, whatever we deem that to be. So it evidently arose a few questions. I talked a little bit about it here on the radio, so here we go. First one is from Grant, and he is from Grant, I'm sorry, I couldn't read your handwriting. He wrote this, believe it or not, so I don't know where you're from. Something Falls, Minnesota, so I don't know. Greg, I love listening to you, and I love your TV programs. Thank you. My question is, am I always, as you say, where I should be? It doesn't always seem that way. What does luck have to do with it, Grant? Grant, there is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as luck. That's totally a misnomer that people get involved in, and it just doesn't exist. There is karma. I am where my karma is. My body follows the karma. Whether I like it or not, it follows the karma. and something of the other shore can really be there for you and me if we are wise enough to understand how to live in our karma and how to allow it to change us, motivate us, and sustain us. So let me get into this. Wherever I am in my life, that is where I am to be. And there is a specific, I'm going to use words that in the English language that will help you understand, but are not really accurate. They aren't what I really mean. We have rendezvous, and wherever you are, there is a rendezvous with someone or some situation or some condition that brings us to a moment in our life where everything that we are, everything that we have ever done in our life, everything that is the culmination of a great goodness that will flower inside of us has that potential. The issue and the problem is that we don't recognize it. We think there are exciting moments and mundane moments. We think there are moments of great victory and accomplishments and great failures and great disappointments. We have it all wrong. Everything we think of in that way is wrong. The truth of the matter is that everything is happening just as it needs to happen for me because of the me within me. The me within me is the one that came here from many past lives, has been many different things here on this earth, has experienced so much, and in the wake of all of that, has to have experiences here on earth that are really opportunities for inner awakening. The problem exists as I don't recognize those situations as points of inner awakening. Hence, I have a great deal of difficulty recognizing what it is that I'm doing and what it is that is truly happening. So, I will treat certain situations and conditions rather casually when they should be focused and I should be able to see them for exactly what they are. Now, this is the issue. This is the great difficulty. We don't see things for the way they are. We don't see them as they are. We see them the way we want to see them through the eyes of our emotionality, our conditioned mind of emotionality, and how it deals with everything is the whole problem of our daily living. Because everything is conditioned, because my mind is conditioned by my emotions, because I don't meditate, let's say, or I don't work on myself, I am subject to the whims of my emotionality. And if you will notice, everything you do is at the whim of your emotions. So your emotions say, well, when I was younger, I enjoyed this, and now I can't do that. Now you feel depraved and deprived and all that other stuff that people like to do. We don't understand that as we age, everything is getting more and more focused on the things that are deeply important. And we don't go there with deeply important. Deeply important is not significant to us. Things that are of the spiritual nature are not important to us because, as my friend said in college, if you can't eat it, drink it, drive it, smoke it, or have sex with it, it doesn't matter. And that's the way people are. You know, this guy I was with, his name was Todd, and I'll never forget him. I didn't understand why he was in my life. I really didn't. And Grant, it was really interesting. Who knew when you're 18 years old that you were going to meet a person who was going to define, so to speak, the society and maybe even a little bit of the culture that I would be facing as a teacher years and years and years ahead. But Todd's, idea and ideals about what life is all about and the meaning of it and all of that stuff has been relevant all throughout my life. And when he said that statement, of course, it was a little more crude than I'm giving you here. I really didn't realize not only how true it was, but how prevalent it was going to be in my teachings. So wherever you are, Grant, based on the things that you value as a person. Now, if you value things such as emotional gratifications, and most people do, and they make them the everything of the all of their own life, then that's the way it's going to be. And you're going to pursue your emotional gratifications more and more and more. And as you do, you're going to lose the meaning of your life more and more and more. It's just the way it's going to be. And you're going to miss this whole thing, this whole life, this whole experience trying to have one gratification after another. And that's where you'll be. But you'll miss. So you're going to get opportunities. I don't know how old you are, Grant, but you're going to get opportunities, as you already have, to feel the presence of something greater than the things you want. And once you understand that experience, that kind of beauty, that kind of karma, then your life will change and everything will look very different to you. You and I can't be in any place at any time other than where we are right now. It just won't work any different than that, and that's just the way it is. I hope that helps you. Oh, my. Please forgive me. Namaste. People don't realize the power of their own life. They really don't. We trundle on in this world thinking that we curse the laundry we have to do, cursing the chores we have to do, cursing the way the world is turning out. We just don't see we're a big part of all of that, and everything we do matters. We just don't get that. We don't want to get that because we want things our way. How does anyone entice you to do anything like buy their products or, you know, be their candidate or whatever? Or you be their votee, as I like to call it. Well, they have to appeal to the worst side of you. Do you not see that? That when people are selling things to you, whether it be their self or an object, a person, a place, a thing, they have to sell it to you and appeal to the very worst part of you. Not the better part, the worst. And so we go on and on and on with this, never realizing what the heck we're doing. We just don't realize it because we don't want to realize it. We just don't. We just want what we want. The next one comes from Kevin, and he says he lives in Northern California. That's all he says. Greg, what do I do when I find myself in the wrong place in this world at the right time? It's been the story of my life, Ken. What makes you think, Ken, you're in the wrong place at any given time? Because things didn't work out the way you wanted them to? Because maybe you didn't get what you wanted and the things you thought you quote-unquote deserved and all that kind of stuff? Is that why? Because it didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out? Well, let me tell you, we're always in the right place at the right time. And if we allow our emotionality to get a hold of us, we will miss. Let me give you an example in my own life. After my ordination, I immediately got into an airplane and flew to India, okay? And I had all of these ideas because I wanted to meet this guru. And I didn't feel prepared to be whatever it is that they wanted me to be. I call it the corporate minister, because when you are a part of an association, you're a part of a corporate mentality. So I flew to India, and I'm on the airplane, and I'm just giddy. I'm just giddy. I'm 21 years old. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I really don't. At least I thought I knew, but, you know, you're just... Anyway, I land. I get out of the airplane. Oh, this lady. I got to tell you about this. There was this lady on the airplane, and she was in going back to India. She had a sari on. She was very, very sweet. And she said, "You're going to India?" And I said, "Yes." And I was smiling. I said, "I'm really looking forward to it." And she said, "Oh, you won't. Oh, you won't when you get there." And I thought, well, what is she telling me? You know, I'm going, "Rrr." Well, anyway, after the landing, I got out of the airplane, and she was right. You know, the smell, the whole thing, the people, the rush and bustle and hustle of it all, everything. It was, to say the least, overwhelming. And I thought I had made a tremendous mistake. I thought, I don't belong here. I have a Western body. And the first thing my Western body felt was not only the heat, but the smell of the Gants and the pollution. It was really ugly. And I really just wanted to turn around and go back. And I had a round trip ticket. I thought, well, you know, I'll just go home. But... as it were, I was intersected by a couple of people that I was destined to meet. I had no idea they knew I was coming, but they knew I was coming. And they welcomed me and said, no, don't go back. Give it a week. Come with us and blah, blah. And it turned out wonderful. And if I had not stayed, if I had not listened to them, if I had not had that divine rendezvous with these characters, I would not be sitting here talking to you as I do this very moment. My life would be so different, and I'm not talking about good different. I'd be in that corporate mentality trying to finagle people to believe in what I'm teaching and telling them that they'll have more money and a healthier life and things will work out and blah, blah. That's what it would have been. And that would have been ugly. I just couldn't do that. So there you are. Wherever you are, you're not in the wrong place. I thought I was in the wrong place. Wherever you are, your sense of destiny has brought you to a moment. And this is the way I feel about it, where I could only learn the way I needed to learn. I could only change. And the change that I needed to make was in the confines, believe it or not, of the environment I was in, the heat, the smell, the whole thing. And that's the way it had to be. My body had to, quote unquote, suffer such things because it belongs to the West, but my heart, my authentic heart, your authentic heart can belong to the universe, to the infinite, to immortality, to the beauty of you. You can't let that distract you. You can't let the environment distract you. You have to learn from the environment. I learned how to be tolerant of heat. I learned how to be tolerant of different people. I learned to be tolerant in myself of teachings that, well, went against the Western mentality, my pedestrian mentality that I had when I was in India, still do, by the way, and that I had to deal with. I had to learn to overcome it so I could learn to meditate and accept things that my human body did not like accepting or did not think that it should have to accept and blah, blah, blah. This went on and on and on within me. It really did. And it goes on within me today. The last time I was in India was, I think 1991. It was a long time ago. We filmed, you can see that series on India, The Call. It's on the website at aspire.org. That was a much different Gregory than the one who landed there many years ago prior to that. This Gregory that you're seeing on camera was really happy to be there. I had learned so much, and I knew the ropes. But the Gregory that landed in India the first time was just a frightened little man who had no parents, no family, nothing, and went and did what he did to serve humankind. And I learned so much from it. So you're never in the wrong place at the right time or the wrong time, as you put it. You never are. Everything is happening just as it needs to happen for me, for you, and for one reason, that you might mature and grow, that you might move into the beauty of yourself as love. That's what it's all about. I hope that helps you. I really do. Thank you, Ken. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Jerry in Concord, California. That's up north. How do we have any real choice where we find ourselves if it's all planned out for us by the me, as you put it, Jerry? Jerry, you don't have any choice. I don't have any choice. Everybody wants to think they have choices. They think, well, I can do this, I can do that. Actually, the situations we're in were based in choices we made a long time ago. What we have is the choice of how we're going to deal with whatever we're working with, whatever is happening. So the choice isn't whether or not you're going to be in a certain position in this world. You find yourself in that position because that's where you find yourself. That's what your karma has brought you to. The only choice you and I have is how we're going to deal with it. And if you're going to deal with it through hurt and pain and anger and hostility and anger, well, that's the way you're going to deal with it. If you don't think it's fair, then you don't think it's fair. But that is not the way it truly works. The way it truly works is every situation I find myself in is one where I have a choice as to elevate myself and transcend or go down to the bottom of the barrel and just feel sorry for myself and believe I'm a victim, which is very, very much what people like to do, especially those who are prone to depression. They love to think that. So you are where you are. And the choice you make will be how you handle it, what you will listen to, what you will learn, how out of the box can you be to accept what's happening and awaken. Those are your choices. But you have no choice about being where you are. Even if you think you do, you don't, because I have found in my life, no matter what I may think, I'm going to wind up where I think. I'm going to wind up exactly where I think. And I don't always know how I think in my Gregory Penn mind. I really don't. You don't know what's going on in the recesses of your unconscious mind. It just is going on the way it's going on. The object of the game, as it were, is to accept where you find yourself and then move on from there. And if you've become meditative, if you've become intuitive, if you've become loving, then every place is home. Every place is the opportunity to awaken, to know the joy of your life, the beauty of your existence. Every single moment is precious. And you won't be looking for what you and I might think of as, well, I want a better moment here and I want a better moment there. No, no, no. It isn't about turning lemons into lemonade. It is about understanding the tree that makes the lemons itself. And it's about being grateful for that insight. Jerry, I hope that helps. I really do. Thank you for your beautiful email and for your kind words. And please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope this this program helped you, and I hope you will consider being a sponsor. It's very, very important. I'm going to be back on the air next week. Have a beautiful weekend. Again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.